Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with CMO Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we're happy to have join us Tim Lupinacci. Tim is the CEO and chair of Baker Donaldson. He leads over 1,300 individuals and 22 offices across the southeastern U.S. They're one of the top 100 law firms in the U.S. He's a lifelong leadership student, and he recently launched a nonprofit called Everybody Leads, focused on empowering individuals in underserved communities with basic leadership skills and confidence to lead themselves, lead others, and lead in the community. Looking forward to today's conversation with Tim. You're originally from Philadelphia, but you're a Vikings fan. So I have to mention that. That's right. Really unique.
So. It is. That's right. I just love the color purple growing up. And when I was a kid, they were going all the Super Bowls that they unfortunately never won. But yeah, I've been a lifelong, long-suffering Vikings fan.
Yeah. Well, we're after yesterday's win. If you're listening to this, it'll be a few weeks ago, but enjoying the win, but also worried about our quarterback. So that's one of the things that's on our mind in Minnesota today. Well, I'd love to hear your story, a little bit of your career story and how you've gotten to where you are today. Can you share a little bit of that with our audience?
Sure, Mark. Yeah, I went to college thinking I was going to be a mass comm major. Thought I was going to do radio and television, maybe newspaper, print journalism. And I interned at a couple places that it didn't seem as glamorous as I thought it was going to be.
Sure.
And so I was taking a media law course and thought this whole idea of the First Amendment law and it was really fascinating. And it led me down a path to go to law school. Not really sure what I was going to do with that, except maybe do something in media law. And but I came out of law school after 3 years, and the firm I joined needed a young lawyer to help on their bankruptcy team. So I ended up doing commercial, corporate, bankruptcy, restructure work. And I found that I really liked that niche because I was always trying to help fix things. Nobody was ever happy when you were in bankruptcy. I mostly represented the lenders, but it was all about how could we restructure things and make sure that everything gets paid out. Maybe it's over more time. And so I really liked that aspect of it. So I did that for, I've been practicing about 28 years. And in our firm, my predecessor as CEO of the firm had been in the role for about 20 years and had identified 2019 is the time he was going to step back. So we had a long search process. It was an internal process, board selection. And I put my name in the hat. I'd done different leadership roles in the firm. I really like leadership. And I thought, well, I'll see how this goes. And so 4.5 years ago, was selected as the CEO and chair of Baker Donaldson, which is a law firm primarily in Southeast United States. One of my clients says we're in the y'all states, although we go up to Maryland and DC. Sure. It's a full-time job. So I transitioned out of practice. I'm really full-time just leading the firm through strategic visions and trying to accomplish great things and care for our people. So,
yeah. Well, we want to talk a little bit about that journey. You were put into a position of leadership before COVID, which I know for some leaders that timing was kind of like leadership going through the fire. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But if you were able to go back and spend back time and knowing what you know now and talk to that 22-year-old Tim, what advice would you give him?
I almost have the way you phrase that, Mark. I almost hear Cher ringing in my ear about if I could turn back time. I'd love Cher, right. But anyway, sorry. You probably need to have a theme song here. Well, it's a great question, and one of the things I think about is I probably wished as a younger lawyer, younger lawyer, and in my life that I spent more time enjoying the drive, the ride, instead of always trying to get to the destination. When I was reflecting on it, when I was a kid, we lived in Guadalajara, Mexico. And whenever we would get my dad went back to medical school. And whenever we would have a break, he would have a break from school, we would drive to Corpus Christi, Texas, where we had some friends. And it was about a 16, 18-hour drive, which would be really hard without, back in those days, no video, nothing.
Sure.
But there was something called, and I need to find one of these, Sanborn Travelogues. I think that was a guy's last name. And every mile along the route of various different parts of Mexico, he would say, well, here's a good restaurant. Here's a clean bathroom at a rest stop or a gas station. And I remember pouring through those things and being like the navigator and pointing out different things. And I think that whimsy and wonder and joy of enjoying every step of the mile of a very long trip, I wish I'd kept that, because a lot of times I'm very like just was have been oriented on just trying to accomplish something. So that was something I was thinking about.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, I think as a leader, especially in your position, you've got a lot of probably strong personalities in a law mm-hmm. firm. You've got how many partners do you have in your firm?
We have about 300 shareholders, partners, and we have 650 lawyers and 1,300 employees. So okay. It's kind of the cadence of it all. But
yeah, well, I always say in professional services, it's like leading cats. Everybody it has an opinion and that, and I'm sure, what have you learned as far as in those 4.5 years since you've taken over as the CEO of your organization?
Yeah, I think one of the things I learned was just the critical importance of building those relationships, because you're right. I mean, I really do view myself as not being the smartest guy in the room, but most of my colleagues, you know, are the smartest guys and ladies in the room. And so it's really just, what can I learn from them? Trying to be open, to be curious. And building relationship and trust, because you're right. I mean, I really serve at their pleasure, it's not a command and control, which is not my nature anyway, to say we're going to do this or else. So you really have to build a trust level, a comfort level with each other of knowing, you know, kind of what we're trying to accomplish together. But you're right. It is, I think it's a very challenging role to lead in a professional services organization for some of those reasons that you mentioned. Mm-hmm.
As you've walked into a leadership position where you've been a part of for a number of years, what are some things that you've done as far as, I'm assuming that over those 20 years that there was something there that kept you at the organization, now you're leading it. Talk about the culture part of it and kind of how you're impacting that culture for the future.
Yeah. And I talk about it a lot around here because it's really what gets me up every morning. I mean, we have to be successful financially and certainly we're here to serve our clients with exceptional client service. But my passion is our people and really trying to help us accomplish things, help individuals to see a pathway to success, to help individuals know that every one of the 1,300 of us has to be sort of firing on all cylinders if we're going to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And everyone's equally important. Everyone can give feedback and have a sort of a seat at the table and help us to really drive forward and serve our clients better. So it really is, trying to be inclusive, be respectful, and really learn from each other. And really just encourage everyone to try to get better every day and help them accomplish their dreams and their goals. Because if individuals are plugged in and doing that, then the organization is going to succeed. So that's really is my passion and what drives me.
Great. Well, I heard you in another podcast talking about your best failure or the failure that you learned from the most. Can you talk a little bit about that? And just as your journey, as you were thinking about leadership and the impact of that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I don't remember the specific instance because I've had many failures. you know, I think one of the things did happen. We had gained some, after you mentioned COVID, and we came through COVID like most professional services firms, doing fine, doing well, and actually having a record year, and we've been able to build on that. But I think we came out of a couple really successful years. With a lot of, I spent a lot of time listening and learning and things we could get better and do better. And we were really engaging and doing all that. And then I think I got a little bit complacent and thinking, well, this is all the flywheel spinning. So now we can just start doing some things, maybe a little bit more acceleration. And there were a couple things, that we hadn't got enough sort of buy-in, and feedback about. And, you know, I think in my mind, I'm thinking, well, everyone's got to know now that, you know, we know what we're doing, so we can just do these next couple things. And there was a good bit of blowback. And then it's like, okay, yes, you're right. That was a mistake to go do that, to take that action. We needed to have gotten more feedback and we could have done it better. So it was just a reminder that, you know, we got to earn your position and earn your leadership followership, I guess, every day, you know. So anyway, that's just something that came to mind.
Yeah. Well, I think this one was that you were talking about was around a project that you had worked on for your
yes.
boss. Kind of how that impact your desire to lead.
Yeah. And that was early on. I was about a 1 or 2 year lawyer out of law school. And I really viewed, the practice of law. I didn't have any lawyers in my family. I didn't know lawyers. It was all kind of new to me. And it was a very transactional type approach. I'd get a project, I'd finish it, I'd turn it in, and then I'd go to the next project. And I was working on a very large project for a boss with someone who was more senior to me, an older associate. So he was still a younger lawyer. I did my part, turned it into him. He turned it into the boss. And then a few hours later, we got called into his office to get yelled at because we had made a real colossal failure in how we were doing some of the accounting of this project. And he yelled at us, and he was on a conference call with, you know, a dozen lawyers from around the country. He said, you know, told them these idiots are going to stay here all night to fix this. So we did stay late. We got it fixed. We figured out what we had done wrong. And I had to drive the boss to court the next morning. I drew that short straw, and it was pretty awkward at first, but then he did apologize. He said he should not have yelled in front of other lawyers. But then he said he had such high expectations of me as a lawyer, and as a leader. And that he really saw that leadership skill in me, that he would hope that I would own my projects and really make sure it was done, even if I was turning it into somebody else. And that was really a lesson that really kind of the first time someone spoke leadership into me. I mean, I think I'd done some leadership roles, but somebody was actually saying they saw something in me. And so that was a turning point for me to really step up and own my career and my leadership opportunities.
There are times in roles as leaders that stuff is happening, and it's easy to get distracted and drawn in a lot of different directions. But what are some things that you do to get refocused during those times of crisis? And probably in the last few years, all of us have had those times where, you know, which fire or which thing do you deal with first? So.
Right. No, it's a great question. And I'm always trying to learn what others are doing because I don't know that I've got the, you know, exact answer. But one thing that has been critical to me is really what I like to call my daily disciplines. Like every day, I want to make sure I'm trying to start the day with certain practices, like getting out and running, which is a good time to just reflect and, you know, whatever you call it, meditate, pray, whatever. I just can think about things. I do some reading in the morning. I try to start the night before by getting a good night's sleep and trying to eat healthy. You know, those kind of daily things really help me to be more disciplined in the day. And then, you know, if I'm in the middle, I know in COVID a few times, it was just the pressure and the stress was so much that I would really just have to kind of text to our other executives, our COO and our CFO, and I'd say, I need a couple hours to step away. And I would literally just go out onto my back porch and play music because I really get energized by music. And I would just sit there and, you know, look into the trees and the woods and just listen to some good music, do that. And then certainly in the moment, I really try to, you know, and I'm still working on it, you know, take the deep breath and try not to just engage and just remind myself every day a few principles as I'm starting the day, you know, to be kind and compassionate and humble and even tempered. Those are some things I just remind myself because I know I have a tendency that I could not be that in the moment of pressure. So I just try to go through that checklist, mental checklist.
Yeah, that's great. I heard you talk about that at one point you thought, oh, maybe, you know, what do I want to do, you know, 5 years, 10 years down the road and kind of thinking about, you know, there's the work side of things, but there's also that giving back. Talk a little bit about that journey, just what you, I think it's kind of unique that you were thinking through that, but also how you applied that during this time.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. It was really a real dear friend of mine just said, what's 10 plus 5 years or 10 years look like? And I certainly, in 5 years, we launched a strategic vision at the firm. So in 5 years, hopefully we've accomplished that. And then it would be like, well, what's next? And, I thought about, well, maybe I can ultimately take my leadership, what I've learned in this role, and help some nonprofits, or do something like, you know, leadership of a nonprofit. And so my friend said, well, why don't you start one? And I was like, okay, well, I maybe can get to that down the road. And he said, no, you need to start it now, spin it up now. So then you have something that you will have something to look forward to. So it did. I mean, it led on this journey of reflection and thinking through and talking to, you know, leaders of nonprofits of maybe some needs that they were seeing. And it led to, I created a nonprofit called Everybody Leads. And the idea being taking basic leadership skill training, programming to underserved communities, like individuals who maybe are reentering society from prison, or some youth who had gotten off track in high school who are now trying to come back and get their certification or get skills to become a welder or things like that, or individuals coming off of homelessness. And there's a lot of great organizations out there doing a lot of basic life skill training. And I thought this would be something to come alongside of them. And like maybe now that one of these organizations has helped somebody get a job, maybe they now need some training about conflict resolution and showing up every day and, how to work in a team. So that's kind of what the idea is. And we've been working with some local nonprofits here in Birmingham, and it's been very rewarding. And just trying to build it while I'm doing this full-time job of leading Baker Donaldson.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that part of it of, how do you use the skill set you have and to make a broader impact on those that need some assistance in their journey.
Yeah. And really not even like Mark, not even like saying, well, Tim thinks this is a way that I can help you. It's really listening to what other organizations that are doing great work, like where do they see a need? And yeah, maybe the two marry up together.
Now, as you're looking at your organization, that strategic plan that you have, 5-10 year plans, what are some things that you're doing internally as far as, again, looking at that next generation of leaders and helping them as far as in their journey? Anything that you're doing as an organization that's helping build kind of that next gen of leadership?
Yeah, it's so important, I think a lot of people sometimes get kind of negative stereotyping some of the next generation, but there's so much wisdom and enthusiasm and engagement among a lot of our colleagues. And so the strategic vision is all around becoming trusted advisors to each of our clients. And there's nothing new about that. Maester wrote that book 20 years ago. But when you think about the indicia of what it means to be a trusted advisor, if we're really living that out and building those relationships, it's going to help us grow in our the trust of us as their counsel and advisors. And so it's a good statement you can put on a wall, but I really wanted to put meat and training behind it. So we launched like a trusted advisor mini MBA program. It's not like a true MBA. I know that's a lot of work to get a real MBA degree, but just with training, and we call it almost like a pathway training. So even with our business services and professionals, we have training for them, but also our young lawyers, next generation lawyers, to help them start building trust. And for them, it may not be with an external client. It may be with the partners they work with. And it may be with, now they start leading, some of the staff, and helping them gain some of those skills. And really, we talk a lot here about pathways, like what is your pathway? How can we help you get there? And how can we help infuse it with purpose? By trying to do things like showing how the work we're doing, even for our clients, literally can change the world in some instances, because we do a lot of healthcare work and a lot of other things. So trying to connect all that up, I think, is something that our next generation really needs to see to then jump in full all the way into it and get going.
So I know you love leadership and love learning. What are some books that you recommend to other leaders that you think are important that have had an impact on you?
Yeah, it's funny because I actually did an internal article one time about the Baker's Dozen, because our name's Baker, 13 leadership books that have. So, I've got a lot of them. But certainly things like Four Disciplines of Execution has been something that's been influential about really having to execute on my top vital priorities. All the Jim Collins books, Great by Choice, what companies have done for that. I like this book by A.G. Laffley called Playing to Win. This idea about how you can really, like it says, play to win in your segment, in your market, and how you can infuse that all the way down into everyone in your organization. I guess he calls it cascading down. And I think that's good. And then I read everything and anything by Daniel Pink and John Acuff. So, Drive, or for Daniel Pink, Drive, and the whole idea about regret, the power of regret. And then with John Acuff, Soundtracks is a great book about, like, if you have the doubting voice in your head saying you can't accomplish something, he's got a really good book on that. And then his new one is All It Takes Is a Goal, which is this whole idea about goal setting. So anyway, though, I know I'm throwing out a lot, Those are some things that have really impacted me personally.
Yeah, that's great. It's one of the things I hear people say they love to hear when they, and I think you named several that haven't been mentioned before. So congratulations.
Oh, good.
After 200 and some. So,
well, I've listened to several and I've loved, it's been interesting of your podcast. It's interesting because some people go with just like the one. And yep, I think that's a good way to think about it. And so Sure. Anyway.
Any favorite quotes that you like to refer to?
You know, I just, one of the things that guides me, I think about this a lot, is it's an old, an old prophet wrote it, but, you know, do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. I just think, you know, because certainly I think it's some of it being in the legal profession. I think the justly part, do justly, but love mercy, I view that as compassion and really trying to help others. And then walk humbly, just a reminder that, you know, I'm here to really help serve my other colleagues here. So that's something that I go back to.
Yeah, that's great. So outside of work, what do you like to do to recharge and refocus?
Yeah, I mean, some of it is running. I like running. I'm not fast, but just getting out in nature and just having time to reflect and think. When I was younger, I used to run with headphones and listen to, you know, hip hop music, but now I just like listening to what's going on around me. I love all things the arts. I like going to live music. I like movies, theater. All of that just recharges me, and certainly time with family is great too.
Okay, so top, I'm throwing this in. You're not prepared for this. Top three movies.
Top three movies. Well, I always say, and it's I say this, and I do like. I mean, I think Citizen Kane is one of my favorite all times, just because of how groundbreaking it was for the time. And I know most people don't even watch that anymore. And then kind of an oddball one that, like, my wife and I will just get back to. It's a comfort movie. You know, people have comfort food. It's Benny and June. It's an early Johnny Depp movie of just about. Just about a couple and a young lady who's got some special need issues. So I'd say that one. And then I probably would say anything by Christopher Nolan. I think he's one of the best current directors. Although I probably should have said Alfred Hitchcock, because I actually got college credit for writing a thing on North by Northwest, a paper. And I do, that's probably, I'll say North by Northwest. Go to Hitchcock before Chris Nolan.
So we'll see if there's an uptick in some of those older movies. All of a sudden they've become popular again. Yeah,
that's
a lot,
right?
The generation that the 20 and 30 year olds are like, hey, never heard of them, but so
right,
go look
right.
It up. Yeah,
that's right.
What parting advice would you have for a new leader?
Yeah, you know, I think that leadership is really, I mean, I think a lot about being courageous. I know during the pandemic, you mentioned the pandemic, and I kind of, I love coming up with acronyms, and I've already talked about things I run through every day, but I think that I was a newish leader in this role coming into the pandemic, and I think just be courageous in what you're doing. So my acronym for courage was like, be confident. You're in that role for a reason. You know, people selected you there to be out front. That was one thing I was like, I kind of wanted to just sink into my shell because something was going wrong, but you got to be out front as a leader. The U is unshakable. Things are going to come your way that, you know, you just got to, you know, keep standing firm. Your colleagues need to see you as the leader. I mean, being honest about what's going on, but, you know, the R is resilient. I think it's just, you make a mistake, own up to it and come back and live the next day. Being adaptable, having a growth mindset, always trying to learn and get better, and then just being an encourager to others, because I find that encourages me to do it. So I'd say for a leader, young leader, you know, just be courageous and think about some of those things and do your best.
Yeah. Well, it's been a lot of fun talking to you today. I know this is going to be helpful for those listening, and definitely wish you continued success in all you're doing and your nonprofit work, as well as at your firm as you're leading it. How would somebody learn more about you and your work? What's the best way for somebody to connect with you?
Oh, thanks, Mark. I'm certainly Baker Donelson, BakerDonelson.com is the firm. I'm on there. And then Everybody Leads with an S on the end of leads.org is the nonprofit. And I'm on LinkedIn and would love to connect with you. And I really appreciate this opportunity, Mark. I've really learned a lot from you and your guests on your podcast. So this has been a real joy to be on here.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Tim. And we'll look forward to seeing what else you do as you expand in your leadership roles in the nonprofit world, as well as in your firm. I appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.